What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
Hi.
Hello and welcome to an Against the Wall edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. The Tide's come-from-behind victory over visiting Volunteers Saturday in Tuscaloosa was, and still is, like a fine cigar. It gets better the more time you spend with it. While Alabama still has not played a full 60-minute game, the Tide did play a near-flawless second half Saturday, scoring 27 points to flip a 13-point deficit into a 24-point victory, thanks to a defense pitching a shutout in the second half. A performance that keeps all of the Tide's goals in play while steadily reminding everyone that Alabama is still Alabama. Yes, this is the kind of game you can sit with. All right, offense Saturday got out to a horribly slow start. 36 yards, one first down in the first quarter. It had the markings early to be a very long day. But the story that as it played out was a little bit different and ended up being quite an epic performance across the board. Milroe was 14 of 21, 220 yards, two touchdowns. He did have an interception that if we could really stat assign that to Jermaine Burton, that probably would be a more accurate representation. And I think it's interesting that the stat line that we're getting from Milroe week over week is pretty similar. He's about 2/3 completion percentage in the 200 yards. He's gone up to 3, but in the 220 to 260 sort of range. Couple of touchdowns, long passes, and he's not averaging an interception a week. And so that's certainly phenomenal. This is something that the offense can build around. And that's indeed what we're seeing. Milroe, again, is very equal opportunity in terms of distributing the ball. Only 14 receptions available, but he hit 8 different receivers. I think he's effective with the designed runs. It was nice to see more of those called this week. And he's getting more and more proficient at throwing the ball away, is Milroe. There's increased use of just across the board, just play calling. Increased use of motion was fun to see, and a couple of end arounds again, get the defense sort of running sideline to sideline. I'm not mad at the end arounds. I've been called out. Hey, you get mad at the end arounds? You don't like that play? I love the play. I just don't like using your franchise wide receiver. Using Devonta Smith or Julio Jones back in the day, or Amari Cooper or Calvin Ridley on end arounds. I'm not a big fan of that. Other wide receivers, not your your sort of your feature wide receivers, your number one wide receivers. I don't like using those guys on end arounds. This Alabama team, I'm not yet sure, has a number one wide receiver, probably Burton. But I'm less concerned, given the depth and diversity of talent that this wide receiver core has, using the end arounds. And I'd like to see that become a little bit more of a staple of the offense, especially early in games. But certainly progress in the play calling. I meant to call this out last week. There was less this week than there was last week against Arkansas. But I like to see the return of the toss sweep. One of my favorite plays. And last week against Arkansas, I think we ran as many toss sweeps as we've probably seen since Stallings was the coach. And so I like these concepts or these ideas being introduced into the offense. And so that's certainly something to keep an eye on. Wide receivers, again, we talked about quite a number of pass catchers, but we do have some emerging stars. I mentioned Jermaine Burton. He had four receptions for 62 yards, a touchdown, a long of 22, and he had an opportunity for another touchdown about 2 minutes, 3 minutes before halftime, and the ball just bounced off his shoulder pads and inexplicably landed in the arms of a Tennessee defender, and so that's credited as an interception, but the ball placement was perfect, and I think Burton was just a little slow getting turned around and getting his hands up. So again, we can't do this. It's not the way stats work. But if we could attribute that INT to Burton rather than Milroe, I think that would be a more accurate representation. It just doesn't happen that way. Isaiah Bond had a big day. Isaiah Bond has really emerged. Isaiah Bond and Prentice. We've got some young cats that are really, really emerging. Isaiah had three catches. Between Bond and Burton, they had half of the receptions. But Bond had three for 77. He also had a nice long touchdown of 46 yards. C.J. Dupree only had one catch for 15 yards. It was a critical chain-moving first down conversion. And Amari Nyblack just is a go-to receiver for Milroe, even though he doesn't catch a lot of balls, but he always gets one or two, and he had one for five, and so that's not a big day, but he's a target, and he's a weapon, and he is a player that Milroe is not afraid to go to, even in coverage, and you can't say that about all of the wide receivers that Milroe pitches the ball to. Running backs, I thought, had a really nice day. Again, Alabama played a short bench. And in fact, a really short bench. Jace McCullum had 27 carries, which is a high for him. 115 yards. That's not a high, but it's up there. 4.3 average. He was certainly a workhorse. Touchdown. And they had a long of 29 coming out of half. The first play of the second half was a 29-yard scamper from McClellan. Roydell Williams did play at the running back position. He only had six carries. Compared to the 27 for 20 yards. So he was very workmanlike, was Roydell, but it was an opportunity to spell Jace a little bit. Running backs, including Milroe on the day, rushed for 138 yards, which was impressive. It was not that many days ago that Alabama barely mustered 38 yards on the day. So 138. Very nice, very nice. The offensive line, still a work in process, but improving. Caden Proctor, interesting. I was keen on him a little bit and primarily watching for the rotation. When are we going to bring, is there a pattern in the stands? You can see the rotations more quickly than you can on TV. And so I was looking for a pattern on the rotations, and lo and behold, we didn't even rotate the tackles. Pritchard didn't play. Caden played the whole day. And so it was interesting. There was a play last week that I thought, oh, this may be the indication that Elijah Pritchard's going to take over that job. It was a long pass down the field, and Elijah Pritchard blocked down and then was able to step back out and catch the looper. And it's a play that I just don't know that Proctor, if he's quick enough on his feet, that he could have made it. I'm not saying that he couldn't. I just don't know. And the coaches will know that because they can run those types of stunts in practice. And so they're going to have a better sense for it than I do from my living room. But so my point is, I was expecting that may be a moment that sort of allows Pritchard to take over the job. And then lo and behold, almost the exact opposite happens Saturday. Caden Proctor plays the full game and plays well. I mean, he is still improving. He's still a youngster. He's going to be good. He's probably going to be a star across the offensive line. He's just not there yet, but he's getting better. He continues to get better every week, and he's going to be a fun one to watch. But the offensive line as a whole is improving, and I think Caden has a little more margin for improvement. And so as he gets better, it buoys the entire offensive line. Jaden Roberts continues to play very well. Again, I cannot overemphasize the fact that he's the third string guard. And in fact, there was a little bit of a scary moment. He went out just prior to half, and in relief of Jaden Roberts, Darian Dowcourt came back in. And within just a couple of plays, Dowcourt appeared to re-injure his shoulder. The medical staff, and it almost as they were walking off for half, the medical staff was tending to him, checking him out, and it became an interesting, you know, sort of how is this going to play out coming out of the second half. Terrence Ferguson, we don't think, is fully back from his sprained elbow or ankle, and if Jaden can't play, because it looked like he went out and it looked like he was going to be out. And so if Jaden couldn't play and Ferg's not available and Dowcourt re-injures his injury coming out of half, with this offense struggling, what are we going to do at the guard position? And Jaden Roberts came back, started the second half, again, continued to play very well. There was a play where he was blocking, and sort of the play went the other way, and so he's more, I know he's a guard, not a tackle, but sort of on an island where he was blocking his guy, and he ended up on the ground, and he was slow to get up. He was very slow to get up. Latham went over to, you know, kind of give him a hand. Are you all right? And Jaden just sort of shook his head, and he said, I'm okay, I'm okay. He got back on his feet on his own, a little slow, but he continued to play and played hard and played well. So for that reason, Jaden Roberts is going to be a three-time mini game ball winner for me. I just can't emphasize, and I kind of kidded with some folks after the game. Jaden Roberts said, damn it, I am the 13 guard. I can't not play. I can't get hurt. We can't bring our fourth team guard in. Like, and so I think, and I sort of projecting that onto him, but what would, now the coaches have a plan. They would have an answer to the question. We potentially would have had to have brought in a true freshman. So at that guard position, and that's not to say that they couldn't have played it and played it well, but you know, sometimes it's you're three deep at a position, right? You'd rather not have to go deeper than that than you have to. So that was an interesting thing to see, and hats off to number 77. I've noticed Alabama.com that a lot of the articles, they repeat pictures, and there's several of the articles that has his face just right up in front of the camera. So it's good to see him get a little bit of pub. I don't know that they're writing about it. In fact, I didn't see a single article even reference his injury or why he had to go out, and you know, I guess all's well that ends well. He came back in, so why am I going to ask why he had to leave if he had to come back in? Now, I personally would want to know the answer to that question, but I don't think the Alabama beat writers were so interested in that storyline. So maybe we'll hear a little bit. Saban will probably talk about it upon reflection and in the bye week. I think we may get some visibility into that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's flip the field like we do and talk defense. And a little bit of a mixed bag on defense, and that's partly because of, you know, the first half. Alabama allowed 13 quick first quarter points to Tennessee. And it felt like, it felt like it was going to be a long day. Alabama did allow 404 total yards to Tennessee. That is a big number. But half of that, 202, came in the first quarter. So again, Tennessee was out of the gates hot. Alabama scoring drives in the first, two in the first quarter, three and a half. One was 8 plays for 75 yards, 15 plays for 79 yards, and 10 plays for 80 yards. One of those was a field goal. Ironically, the 15 play drive was a field goal. There was a short after an Alabama fumble. There was a short 5 play drive that resulted in a field goal as well. So that's how they get to the 20. But that's a lot of long sustained drives. Very demoralizing for a defense, and the offense feels great putting together a long drive. And so it really looked like the Alabama defense maybe run out of the stadium, certainly in position to get worn out with that many plays. And in fact, late on the interception, Alabama had an opportunity to score, to make it a 14-13 going into half. And the interception, again, sort of off Burton's shoulder pads, happened with right at, I think, 301 or 302 left on the clock. And it was a touchback. Tennessee got the ball on the 20 and proceeded to run off 10 plays for 80 yards to score a touchdown, to put it, 20 to make it a 20-13 or 20-7 game, a 13-point margin. And it really felt like that was a jolt for Tennessee, and that was quite demoralizing for Alabama. And for that to happen just right there going into half was really demoralizing. It would have been really nice for Alabama to get the touchdown there to make it a 14-13 game. That's a lead, it's a 1-point lead. Alabama got the ball coming out of the second half, and so it would be really nice to have taken the lead before half, knowing that you're coming out with the ball after half. To potentially even extend that. For Tennessee to score there and go up by 13, go up by 2 scores, that was a big deal. That truly was. Alabama defense on the whole, we say played well. They held Tennessee to 8 of 18 on third downs and 0 of 3 on fourth down conversions. And a couple of those were critical. Two of the three were critical fourth and ones. One was a 4th and 8 and 4th and 10. It was the last possession of the game. You can't hardly count that against. I mean, it's a good defensive play, but you can't count that against the offense in the same way that a 4th and 1, certainly in the meat of the game. And one was right at near field. It was at the 47. It was really a bad call, I think, for Tennessee. Jahi Campbell just stoned the running back for a loss on a 4th and 1 play. And Alabama had a short field there and scored one of their touchdowns. That was one of the pivotal. There were a couple, but that was certainly one of the pivotal plays in the game. The Alabama defense held Tennessee running game to almost exactly 100 yards less than their average. Tennessee, we'll have to see how the new stats sort of recalibrate. Going into the game, Tennessee was the number one rushing attack in the SEC, one of the stronger rushing attacks nationally. They were averaging 231 rushing yards a game, and Alabama held them to 133 rushing yards. So that was a nice sort of discrepancy that the defense created. This defense was dominating in the second half. There's no other way of saying it. If I'm misrepresenting the stats or not being clear in my messaging, let me be very clear. in saying this. The Alabama defense was dominating in the second half across all three levels. The defense has the this Alabama defense truly has the opportunity to be spectacular and has the opportunity to take this Alabama team to great heights. It's capable of carrying the team into the playoffs. Let's talk about some individual performances. Like we do, Deontay Lawson was in on 12 tackles, had a pass deflection. Jahid Campbell was in on 10 tackles, had a tackle for loss, and a fumble recovery return for a touchdown. That effectively iced the game. That put Alabama up by 2 touchdowns. Just a wave of exhale and followed by a wave of inhale of cigar smoke. It was glorious. Justin Aboibi had a phenomenal day. He was in on eight tackles, 1.5 TFLs. Looks like he's rounding right back into that form right about the time he got injured last year. And I've said this enough times, and I repeat things just because when they carry a gravity in my head, it keeps coming out on the podcast. But he was just about to just explode last season. I'm convinced of that when he suffered his injury. And so when he comes back this season and gets back to that form, and maybe he's rounding into that, he has a chance to really continue to make strong contributions across the offensive line. Jalen Key was in on 7 tackles. Boy, we're so fortunate that he transferred to Alabama. Coming out of spring game, I was questioning why would we bring in the secondary players, and you almost don't watch a game without appreciating the contribution that Jalen Key is having. And Chris Braswell, you know, I'd have to check the numbers, but he may well have had one of his best days wearing crimson. He was in on 4 tackles. That's not a huge number, but in on 4 tackles. He had 2 sacks, and he forced the fumble that Campbell returned for a touchdown. Certainly that is a significant contribution. We talked about the 2 transfers in the defensive backfield. Well, Trey Amos came on and played corner when Terrion Arnold went out with concussion symptoms. And so Trey Amos came in and played phenomenal. If you weren't paying close attention, you wouldn't have noticed because there was no drop-off. We've seen teams kind of go at Trey a little bit, and to the extent that Tennessee attempted that or was going to attempt that, the defense as a whole, and certainly Trey in his individual performance, wouldn't allow it. Trey will be one of the starters at corner next year. He'll start opposite Terrion, but this week he stepped in for Terrion and played, I don't remember exactly when the injury occurred, second quarter, and so Trey played a good half or more of football. Terrion, again, coach indicated there were concussion symptoms, so he was in the protocols, not available as a result of that. All of those are the right answers, the right process, and I suspect, as coach suggested in the post-game presser, that you know, he'll be cleared from the protocol in coming days, and with Alabama having a bye this week, there's good timing around that. You know, this defense, and I sort of teased, looked at my notes kind of out of order, but, you know, this defense has had lapses. The fourth quarter against Texas, we could call that fatigue. We could call that a lapse. First quarter against Tennessee, certainly a lapse. Didn't come out ready to play. The scripted plays that Tennessee had were spot on and worked to perfection, and the defense adjustments were made. Third quarter against Arkansas, defense had a lapse. Some of that mental with penalties committed. But this defense has the ingredients to be dominant. And LSU coming up is going to be an incredible test for this defense. But I'm bullish on this defense. And again, I think this defense is capable of carrying this Alabama team into the playoffs. So that'll be something that we'll root for and certainly keep an eye on. Special teams. Let's talk about special teams, and we always lead off special teams with Will Reichert. He was 2 of 2 on his field goals with a long of 50, and he had 4 PATs. There's the Will watch that we'll track. We'll continue to track forward. Last week against Arkansas, Will became the all-time SEC career scoring leader. and coming out of Saturday's game with Tennessee, Will now needs 35 points to become the all-time leading scorer across all of NCAA, wow, which is pretty amazing. And so I kind of start to kind of break it down this way. Depending upon how the schedule plays out, Alabama will play between 5 and 7 games the rest of the way. Now, 5 is a low number. That suggests a bowl game, but no playoffs and no SEC championship. So 6 probably is a low number. 6 is probably the healthy number. And 7 just says, hey, we're going to go to the SEC championship and we're going to go to the playoffs and we're going to play 2 games in the playoffs. And so between 5 and 7 games are the number of contests that Alabama has remaining this season. 6 is the good number to sort of pick. And just because math sometimes is funny, Reichert needs 35 points. And if you're playing between 5 and 7 games, well, 5 times 7 is 35. And so if you play 5 games, you need to average 7. And if you play 7 games, you need to average 5. Like I said, math is funny sometimes. And so if Alabama, I sort of look at it this way, and there's another way of breaking it out, and you say, well, if Alabama averages 27 points the rest of the way, how do you get to 27 points most logically? You do that with 3 touchdowns, so 3 PATs and 2 field goals. And so that would get you to, 9 points a game. And so if Alabama averages right at 27, that's going to allow Will to average right at 9, and he needs to average, you know, between, you know, 5 and 7 to get to the 35. And so the point there being he's well on the way, or there's a high probability that he's going to hit that number. And so that's going to be fun. We're certainly rooting for it. We say Alabama averaging 27 points the rest of the way. Well, you could say the caliber of opponent will go up. And while that's true, Alabama right now is averaging 30 points. So again, all of this is within the realm of reason. Things still need to break his way, break our way. We want this to happen for him, but something certainly to keep an eye on. So that'll be fun. James Burnup had 5 punts. 5 is a big number. I don't like that, but it speaks to the offense being very stagnant to start the game. 218 yards, so an average of 43.6. He did have a shorty in there, but he had 2 inside the 20 and a long of 52. So we like Burnup. He certainly has progressed, and look, he's not going to bang 50 every time, but he had a long of 52, and again, he's well north of 40, and so that's where we like to be. Close to 45 is a real sort of sweet spot, and Burnup is become very, very productive and consistent, and so that's certainly something that we enjoy. Kool-Aid is struggling at the punt returning. I don't think there's any two ways to call it. I saw where some people were speculating that he just has the yips. That could be. Someone speculated, oh, he's maybe lost a contact or something. I don't buy that because he's so good in coverage. It's sort of similar but different. You know, the ball's coming at you. You got to make a play on it. And so I think you would see a deficiency in his coverage if it were a contact sort of issue. So there you have it. But he's certainly struggling. Yip seems to me to make more sense. He's not getting to balls that I think that he could get to. He's not even trying to get to some of the balls. He's trying to keep people away, but the ball lands and it takes. There are a couple times Saturday that the ball took a very generous Tennessee hop, and it would have been nice even just to fair catch it. To catch it and possess the ball as far upfield as possible, much less with the return. I think Alabama misses JoJo Earl. I think if Earl were on the team, I think he would have stepped in, maybe from the jump, but certainly over the last couple of weeks, JoJo Earl would have jumped in and started fielding punts. Who would have guessed that we would miss JoJo Earl? But, you know, it appears that we are. All right, let's go a little bit of administrative. We do on our virtual tailgates, and I'll give you all the information if you're interested in joining our virtual tailgates. We sort of do a pick'em for the upcoming games. And Jono was our winner this week. He the final score of this game was 34-20. And Jono predicted 31 to 20, and so he's very close. He just a field goal difference there. So way to go, Jono. And Doug will get your gift out to you. Next week is a bye week, and I love the placement of the Alabama bye week. Saban has been very methodical in where he places the bye, and I love it. It's eight games in, and so you play eight. So you've played essentially, what is it, two-thirds or three-fourths of the schedule, 8 of 12. When I get my math right, you get two-thirds of the schedule, and you insert a bye, and you take that bye just before the LSU game. And so you get healthy into that game because that's a big competitor in the West. We like to win the West, and so that's oftentimes LSU is a roadblock there. And so you get a good amount of the schedule in place so that you've sort of solidified your team identity, who you are, what you're trying to figure out. Now, there's always things you're working on, but you kind of solidify your team identity. You can't have a bye too early, and then you have the bye just before what oftentimes is the biggest game on the schedule. And you have an opportunity to get people healthy and get right for that game. And it's a little bit of the home stretch. You have the final four games, regular season games coming out of that. So I like the bye placement. And so Alabama has a bye. We kid, but, you know, it's real. We got to win the bye. We need to take care of the team, needs to take care of the things that they need to take care of. Their treatment, let's not get in trouble, let's not do anything stupid. Off a bye. We've seen it happen in the past, less so under Saban, but it still can happen. And so what we want for this Alabama team is to come out of the bye as healthy as we possibly can. And now, what does that mean? This team actually has an opportunity to be pretty dang healthy relative to, there's no season-ending injuries that we've experienced. Of the regulars, Dalcourt has a shoulder injury, but he's sort of been wildly pipped in my mind. Tresman Marshall is rotated in and out at the linebacker position. I really like the Campbell kid. I think the Campbell has more upside than Trez does, although I do like Trez. He's recovering from a rib injury. You can't play linebacker with a rib injury. And so this extra couple of weeks, he did not play Saturday against Tennessee. Two more weeks before LSU might put him, you know, in a place where he's close to ready to play. Terrence Ferguson, who stepped in at the guard position ahead of Jaden, he's sort of been just right there on the cusp of being ready. But Jaden continues to man the position, partly because of his stellar play, and partly because I just think we're bringing Ferg along slowly. And so two more weeks probably gets him about ready. Malachi was dinged up. Now, Malachi said, I'm not missing the Tennessee game, but he's been dinged up. And so giving him some time to get healthy, I think, is going to be good. In his post-game presser, he was asked about, hey, what about this bye week, the timing of this bye week? And, boy, you could just tell by his expression, he knew that he needed it. And I'm certain the team does as well. And, of course, we had Terrion go down with a little bit of an injury. You know, it was in the concussion protocol. And so 2 weeks should put him on pace to be ready to play. Point is, this could be as healthy of an Alabama team at this point in the season than we've seen in a number of years. And so that bodes well for this team. So we'll see how that goes. We will have an interview with LSU leading up to the LSU game, so we're certainly looking forward to that. Maybe we may have a week without an episode. Again, we're just covering some administrative basis here, just because of the bye week. We may take one too. So that's how that will work out. LSU, Kentucky, UTC, and Auburn down the stretch. We're super, super excited about that. Public thanks to the tailgate invitation. You know who you are. We had a phenomenal time, great time catching up. And special thanks to Sessions as well. That's always a fun place. And the people you meet there, certainly a good time as well. In the meantime, what do? We roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach? Of course, Roll Tide.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.